Hey everybody, it's JR. I just want to talk to you a little bit today about something that happened to me the other day. And Dave asked me if I'd tell you about it, just because it kind of changed my life. I think it'll change your life. It changed his life. Changed my aunt's life. Changed everybody's life. So I was down at my cousin Skeeter's shop the other day, and I walked in there and I was trying to steal a couple parts because my Ford ain't working right. And Skeeter walked in. He didn't know what I was doing because Skeeter's kind of stupid. And he was like, "Hey, bud, I got something I need to tell you. Why don't you take a seat right there?" I had a seat right there. He said, "I want to tell you about something that I found out today. If you haven't heard about it, I think it's right time you did." He said, "It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way imaginable to make a podcast." And I was like, "Skeeter, all right, well, you have my curiosity, you got my attention, bud." So he said, "Well, let me talk to you about it." He said, "It's free. There's creation tools on it. They allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. And it'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, many other things, many more platforms. You can make money from your podcast, no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place." And I started thinking about it, and I ain't never heard Skeeter say none of these words before. So obviously it took to him pretty well. It must be pretty important to him. So I just want to come on here and tell you that you should download Anchor today. And, you know, just do with it what you want to do, man. Just have a good time with it. My cousin Skeeter's making a podcast now. And he just is just having time of his life with it. And, you know, I keep stealing his parts, but he's making money from Anchor, and it kind of offsets it all, so he can keep living, and he can feed his kids and his family and all that stuff right there. So download Anchor today, and maybe you can be, you know, the next Skeeter. I don't know.
Following total atomic annihilation, the rebuilding of this great nation of ours may fall to you. That's why we here at Vault Boys WB will take you on an oral tour of the beautiful state of West Virginia. There's no other place to be better prepared for the impending fallout. Now we go live to our team of experts.
Hello and welcome to Vault Boys WV, a mutated podcast crossbreeding our shared history in Appalachia with the post-apocalyptic state and Fallout 76. I am your card-carrying cryptozoologist, Dave Chaffins, and joining me is my favorite son of a Mothman, Austin O'Connor. What's going on, Austin?
I'm not used to that yet, still.
Card-carrying.
I was expecting Country Road Scholar, and it's still, today, the second time, caught me off guard.
You know, I love alliteration.
Yeah.
It's like...
Alliteration's fun.
Yes.
It's very fun.
This podcast I like to listen to that has the... it's like Miley Cyrus's sister... and the guy who's the bartender on Bachelor in Paradise. It's like
you just keep getting drawn to like Bachelor inspired.
Well, man, Love Island's coming back, and you know I'm hyped for that. I don't know if I like the American one as much as the British one, because I just like learning all of what the young people in Britain are saying about this or that.
One of my coworkers always jokes about that show, mm-hmm. and like one of the accents they do, and says something about 100% my type on paper.
Yeah, like that's the thing that they say so much that it's literally written on the walls.
Really?
And so they have this, the best part about the show is they have this narrator who's a comedian.
Oh, well, that makes it like funny then.
That makes jokes about them and about all of their, I guess, lives, what they're up to. We now have been invaded by two dogs
that just hopped up on me.
We're coming in here hot in an episode today.
Yeah.
I saw you literally walk up the steps just a minute ago, and you were like, "I got a story." So I'm ready to hear a story.
Yeah. So the reason that we came in hot today, mm-hmm. we started real quick.
Real quick.
I have to be back at my apartment in like an hour and 15 minutes because... we'll start Sunday night.
Okay.
Actually, we'll start Friday night.
Whoa. Oh.
I was about to head to Huntington mm-hmm. to hang out with one of my friends for his birthday. And before I left, I heard this strange sound. Mm-hmm. And my AC makes kind of weird noises sometimes. So I was like, oh, well, you know, my AC is just making... It's been really, mm-hmm. really working hard the last few days. Mm-hmm. My AC is making some noises. Didn't think anything of it. I got back Sunday, you know, watched Game of Thrones, I'm laying in bed, and the AC and the hot water heater are both in a little closet attached, like, from my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I start hearing this noise again, but it's, like, loud at this point. Like, very, very loud. And it's, like, 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I open that door, and I look in, and all I see is just water shooting up in the air from the hot water heater.
Oh, no.
Just, like, in, like, spurts. Mm-hmm. And it's just hitting the wall. And I'm like, oh, this can't be good. It's probably not ideal for a Sunday night at 1 a.m., but...
Nope.
Yeah, so I'm, like, freaking out. I don't know what to do. I'm, like, trying to put towels down. It's not even helping. I'm dropping towels, like, basically in puddles of water.
You're just, like...
So I'm just, like, all right, I am not...
Control the situation, please.
Yeah, I'm a lot of things, but a handyman is not one thing I would necessarily consider myself.
Right.
So I, like, got my toolbox out with what I do have, and I got some, like, pliers and was able to eventually... It was, like, on, like, the... I don't even know what you would call it. It was at the base of, like, the pipe that was loose. It was, like, kind of loose, but it didn't fit right. So I basically had to tighten it in a way that, like, it... I, like, almost broke it, but it managed to stop the leak for the most part. Mm. And the next morning, they came and they fixed the pipe. Well, there... I was worried because I noticed... that the floor in the hallway was starting, like, I just have, like, laminate floors in the hallway, starting to warp a little bit and bubble. Mm. And I was like, so clearly there's water under it.
Right.
So I text my landlord. I was like, hey, he told me it was fixed. And I'm like, hey, was there any damage? He was like, oh, nope, everything's fine. Everything's 100% fine, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, are you sure about that? Like, there's water. He hadn't seen it yet. The guy that came just fixed the pipe and was like, all right, we're good. Didn't think, like, oh, it's been leaking all night.
All night.
So he was like, yep, no, it's totally fine. That's just padding under the carpet. I was like, I don't have carpet. Like, I have laminate floors. Which, landlord, great guy. He just hadn't seen it. He wasn't told. Like, he was told it was fixed, and that was
right,
it.
Right.
And so...
Dude, we're calling out your landlord. Let's just...
So I finally, like, yesterday, I got... one of my coworkers let me borrow a dehumidifier, and I set that up, and I cleaned out that closet really well, mopped it out, but the floor definitely is damaged. So today, finally, he's sending people to look at it and to get that taken care of, because they've been apparently all over the place today. I was hoping they would have done it when I was at work, but he said I will have to be there to let them in. So I'm hoping that they don't have to take my whole floor up, because I don't know, pretty sure... I told, like, early in the podcast when they accidentally gave me these
floors. They accidentally gave you the new laminate floors.
Yeah, weren't even supposed to be in my apartment.
That was, like, the first few episodes.
I got home on lunch, and all of my stuff was in the hallway of the apartment building. So, hoping that doesn't happen again.
Me either. I don't want that to happen for you.
Yeah, so that's my fun story. Not really a fun story. That's been my life this week, is dealing with...
It always feels, whenever I have a problem with the house that's, like, pretty immediate, it's always, like, this, like, constant sense of anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't settle down. I can't sleep as well. I feel like that I am doing something wrong, and I'm just waiting for it to be done.
Yeah, like, and my mom tells me, she calls it the Taylor nose. Because, like, the Taylor family on her side that I come from, we can sniff out anything. Mm. And the whole time I'm at home, I'm like...
I think I missed that gene. I think there's, like, a separate... That's where it's separated.
I'm, like, sniffing. Because I'm like, do I smell mildew? What do I smell? Like, does it smell? Because you've been to my apartment. I like to keep it pretty neat and straightened
up. Yeah, you're
a
neat guy.
And keep it clean. And I... Like, every week...
As we sit in the paper with, literally, the paper is covered in all of the papers that we have used from previous podcasts.
Floor is just littered. It's like our aesthetic down here.
This is our archive system.
Yeah, it's got the papers from all of the shows. But I keep it, like, I clean it at least once a week, like a deep clean, like, cleaning solution, vacuum, everything. And so I like it to smell very nice. I'm a big candle guy.
Big candle guy.
Big candle guy. Yeah. Big old flipping mood.
Yankee?
Big candle guy. I got a Yankee candle Woodwick. In the living room right now. Had a Woodwick in the living room. Woodwick is now in the guest room. Yankee candle popped its way right into the living room. I've got, like, a cheap Target candle in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You never know when you're going to need one. You know what I mean? So I've got them spread out all over the place. Then I've got these little Glade plugins all over the place. I like it to smell nice. Okay. And yesterday I got home and my apartment did not smell nice. And I was in, like, full meltdown, like, you got to be kidding me mode, because I was pissed. I was like, I do all this time, spend all this time cleaning, and this has happened. So I cleaned it, and it smells good now. But I'm worried. Good. I've got that, like you said, that
it's
anxiety.
Like this constant anxiety. Yeah. And it's like, even if there's, like, our AC broke. It was a small thing. We knew it was a small thing. Literally, while we were recording a podcast one day, and since we're down in the basement, the part of the unit's right behind us, there was, like, clinking and everything. But that didn't get fixed for a week, and it was that whole week. It was like, I'm laying in bed miserable. At night, like, I need 2 shots of alcohol, and then I can go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, it's the worst.
I need to chill out.
It is, not having AC, like, it makes you remember, like, man, how did people survive for thousands of years without air conditioning?
Yeah.
Like, what did you, like, how did you just lay in bed and go to sleep?
Did you, I'm not sure what the grid is like out there, but did your power go out on Friday?
Friday night, it went out.
Yeah.
But it was really weird because every building around me had power. But mine went out.
Part of it, it seemed like that it was like you were on since you were on our side of the street or whatever. Yeah. That the power went out for that whole block. And across the street, it was out for people. But about at the one of the apartment complexes in the neighborhood, it kicked back up again on the other side of the street. But we were out for, I think, like 4 hours or something.
Well, I know mine, I was just about to leave when it went out. And I was like, oh, well, that's great. Because, it stormed, man.
It was a hefty storm, but the power went out. And I was like, oh, God. It was hot all day. The top of our house, which is where we sleep, is going to get so hot because the AC's not running.
Yeah.
But we got everything. It was actually cooler outside than it was in the house. So we got citronella candles.
Yeah.
And put them all on the porch. And we thought we were going to read, but it got too dark too quick because of the clouds and everything. Yeah. So we tried to play Battleship, and we were like angling the citronella candles because you don't realize how much of a shadow there is with that. Mm-hmm. And we decided that probably wasn't going to work because we weren't able to actually like read the numbers on the Battleship game.
So it was just
We got the switch, and we got in our swing outside and set up a chair. As you leave, you can see the chair that we had it up in.
Yeah.
And played Mario Kart
while
all the neighbors had all their like lights out. But it was kind of distracting. We weren't very good at it because we could still like the lightning was still happening.
Oh, yeah.
And when it's pitch black and there's like lightning happening, like, you want to look and you want to see what's happening, what's going on.
When I was driving to Huntington at one point across the sky, there were like 3 lightning bolts all at once.
Yikes.
And I was like, okay, this is the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all dying right now. Like, this is it for us.
We've reached it.
Because it looked like it was right in front of me. It just looked like something out of a movie.
Yes.
I'm not big on lightning. Big fear. Big
fear.
Big non-lightning guy. Yeah.
Big.
That it makes no sense.
I don't know.
Big non-lightning
guy. We just like to
guy.
Say big whatever.
Big mood. Big mood. But what's been going on with you, man?
What other than your AC stuff.
You're a cryptozoologist. One week down. How does it feel?
I mean, it's amazing.
Has it changed your life yet?
Yeah. Like I invented a new cryptid last week.
That happened. You're off to a roaring start.
I mean, what more can I contribute to this?
They're gonna write books about you one day.
Let me tell you, one of the people we're talking about today was so knowledgeable that he didn't have to write books. He had apprentices that admired him so much, wrote books about his stuff after he was dead. Crazy.
You know what
that's
that
what
is.
They're going to be. I'm going to have like apprentices.
You know what we call that, though?
What do we call that?
Big mood.
That's big mood. I need to I'm going to make my own like college, you know.
Like, you need to do like the first thing you need to do is. Just like Michael Scott made like the 5K, the run with like the crazy name.
Yes,
you need to do like one because it was the Michael Scott's Dunder Mifflin Scranton Meredith Palmer Memorial Celebrity Rabies Awareness Pro Am Fun Run Race for the Cure. You need to like make one, but with your name, but make it that long.
And I need to make certificates.
Yeah,
I bet you I can make. But you see, I bet you I could make a bit of money off this. This is my scheme because I could write a better course than the one that I took. I'm coming out firing shot. This is my second week. I am firing shots.
Shots fired. Now,
right now.
You need to definitely profit off this because here's the thing.
Yeah.
here's the thing. You also could sound even more important than you are, because a lot of people don't even know what cryptozoology is, but it sounds real official.
It does.
It sounds even more like crazy than it actually is.
It does. And when you have a certificate of achievement in a diploma of cryptozoology, that is the official thing that I have.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, wow, look at this guy.
Yeah.
I'm considering calling myself like a doctor or something,
you're,
you know?
You're going to have like a holster for it, for the certificate.
Right.
Like inside your waistband, just pow, just like.
Well, I tried. Here's the thing. I tried to do that. Try to make a little like laminated card, and I couldn't get the right laminate sheet.
Just show people a picture of you holding a certificate. Here's me with it.
And here's then, me. Yeah. Like I need one of those old wallets to have all the like little picture sliders in there.
Yes.
And then I can, show them.
It. Just like a little like tiny wallet sized picture of you.
It reminds me of that Dimitri Martin joke of, I hate it when people show me pictures of their kids and then they get mad when I pull out my wallet and I start showing them pictures of their kids. It's like, why is that?
Why is that unacceptable?
Why is that unacceptable?
Why is that not something I can do?
Yes. Nothing. Nothing. Just being a cryptozoologist.
Somebody's got to do it. Right?
Somebody's got to do it. I forgot one of the most important things. I've got 24 bottles of West Virginia mead.
Oh, it's finally
it's here.
It's all come to fruition,
and it's ready. It'll be ready in about 2 weeks. Huh. 2 weeks. I'm just letting them sit. It's like a drink now kind of mead.
Yeah.
Generally, they last 2 years. Me and Selena went and finished our mead operation. So
That's impressive. We are
getting ready to drink some of that. It was quite, took a lot of lung power to get that siphon going.
Oh, I'd say.
And then I realized that we had an auto siphon on the second, because we had to put some clarifier in it.
Classic mistake.
And it worked out.
Get you a man that can do both. Cryptozoologist by day, mead brewer by night.
Yeah,
man, look at you.
You gotta have hobbies, man. You gotta have things.
Everybody's gotta have a hobby, man.
That's true.
You just happen to have two that are very unique. What's the esoteric skills? Is that the word?
Yes. Yeah.
Very like out of the ordinary. Like
right.
You don't. Man.
Right. I need to start listening to Grateful Dead. That's my...
Grateful Dead, yeah.
That's my next
one. Like a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You just got to follow them around the country.
I want to play the lute.
The funny thing, it's funny. Grateful Dead fans and Jimmy Buffett fans, they travel for those shows.
Yeah.
They'll be like 65, 70-year-old people touring the country with them just to go to all the shows.
Yeah, a lot of people do. It used to be a bigger thing when Grateful Dead was... like doing before all this like Ticketmaster and online stuff, because you could literally, Selena's dad would do it, would just mail them like $20 and he would get like tickets for four shows.
That's
and they would
sweet,
just send
though.
It back because they were doing so many shows and so many
I
shows.
Love it.
They would just
like
get them in the mail
with Jimmy Buffett, the whole parrot head thing. Cause I've been to several of his shows.
I remember
it's like, man, these people, they it's sort of like, how people like make fun of like vegans. They'll be like, oh yeah, you'll know a vegan because they'll tell you. Or like they have a septum piercing. It's like, it didn't even hurt. Like all those jokes about like, you'll know. Mm-hmm. Like you'll know how many shows somebody, and how many Jimmy Buffett shows like somebody's been to. Because they'll always be like, yeah, I've been to 37. Like they'll just let you know. Like you didn't even ask.
My sister was a member of the official Parrot Head Club in Roanoke, Virginia for a year.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
But Jimmy Buffett was banned from the Civic Center there.
Why?
Because there was too much drinking in their parking lot, and drinking was not allowed in their parking lot.
That's a bunch of babies.
I did see James Taylor there.
I want to see James Taylor so bad.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Listen, what's the song, Fire and Rain?
Yeah.
One of the greatest songs ever composed, in my opinion, in the history of music.
He's like one of your famous folk singer when you literally have like the state anthem, like you've written a state anthem, and he's the state anthem for North Carolina.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Either
or South Carolina, whichever Carolina you want
to. I like to think it's North Carolina. Sweet Caroline is a pretty big one there too, but I would still say Carolina, you know, Jim Taylor at least has the A.
He's got it.
Yeah.
He's good.
You go to Panthers games, when they win, they play Sweet Carolina. Or they say nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina for a Panthers football game. And then you like chant. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a real thing. I wouldn't lie to you.
Mm,
then they play Sweet Caroline.
My Carolina mythology. See, this is where I'm lacking. Yeah. Is my Carolina mythology is way off.
Play that? Is it Petey Pablo, the raise up, right? Or it was like the
Petey Pablo.
It was like take your shirt off, wave it around your head like a helicopter. It was like North Carolina. That's a North Carolina jam, man.
Oh, what is that song where they do this? It's like about the hurricane or whatever or something, right?
I don't know.
Isn't there like a hip hop song? Now we're getting so far off.
Let's talk about
Fallout 76.
Let's talk about Fallout 76.
Yeah. All right. So we got an Inside the Vault this week. I've got two sections that I want to read off from it that I thought were just interesting and kind of summarized it and did it more eloquently than I can, which is very easily. Yeah. I tweeted it. I've been playing a little bit of Dauntless, and I tweeted it then last night. I said, I played your game today. It was very fun. I'll play more tomorrow. I thought to myself, I like to give credit where credit is due. Yeah. It's like, you know, a little company or something. And I'm like, this is why I don't write game reviews. It's like,
I played this game.
I played game. It I was fun. It. I'll play it tomorrow. But really, what more do
enjoyable.
You need? What more do you need?
Right. I mean, on a scale of point.
I played your game. It wasn't fun. I'm not going to play it again. Or I played your game. It was fun. I'll play it tomorrow.
Very much like Dwight Schrute throwing a birthday party.
Yes.
It is your birthday.
It is your birthday.
You got to the point.
Yeah.
There you go. I played your game. I enjoyed it.
I'll play it tomorrow.
I'll play it tomorrow. That's easy. Like a very like also Ron Swanson way of saying like congratulations. I liked it. I think.
Yes, I think so.
I just picture Ron Swanson tweeting that
lowest
to them.
Effort.
Yeah, he's like tweeting that to them from like a Nokia like brick cell phone.
It's like the chair making chair assembly. All right, so from the Inside the Vault. Beneath the Arctos Pharma building lies one of the company's most closely guarded secrets, a sprawling subterranean research facility made up of three carnivorous labs. Each of these labs feature their own biomes, which created opportunities to perform experiments on a wide variety of flora and fauna. Safely hidden deep underground, this fully automated facility remained safe when the bombs dropped on October 23rd, 2077. Why'd they have to specify the date? Is my question.
They're just going all
October 23rd, 2077.
Just in case you were
remember
wondering.
It well.
Yeah. What a year.
Research continued despite the Research continued despite the destruction on the surface, and even now the bots who reside within the depths work tirelessly to carry out the company's directives. It goes on to say, over the past 2 months, we've had a lot of fun sharing previews of upcoming game content and patch highlights in Inside the Vault, especially during our recent Wild Appalachia releases. We're going to continue using Inside the Vault as a space for these things, but we'd like to expand our type of content we include in these articles going forward. To do this, we'd like to know what you'd like to see in the future. Perhaps you'd like to learn more about the developers behind Fallout 76 and the work they do to support the game, get some additional insights into existing game features, or maybe something else entirely. And you can go to the Bethesda Fallout 76 forums, give your feedback there. It's a great way to... If you really want to get your feedback seen, it's a great way to do it. There was a bug issue that I reported through there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You did your due diligence.
I try to remain as anonymous as possible when I'm doing this stuff outside of, unless it's on Twitter. Yeah. That's my true power is utilizing my, was it 200 followers?
You do your due diligence, though.
I do my
due
diligence.
That's a tough thing to say, due diligence.
Due diligence.
Do your due diligence. Say that five times fast. That's tough. All right. Listen in.
All right. So patch 9.5 came out on Tuesday, and it included the Arctos Pharmacy event. I forgot the name of the event. It's called something, Project Paradise. That's it. I don't know how I remember that. Called Project Paradise, and it included some bug fixes. You can read more online from the patch notes that Bethesda posted on their website. I had a chance to play Project Paradise. I tried it three different times, and I failed.
Did not go well.
Every single time. So essentially, you are tasked with filling up these... I don't know if they're vats. They're like little chambers filled with plants that are around this facility. And you have to fill three of them up. Right. And depending on the amount that you can get into, that you can stuff into these, depending on the amount of water you can put in the bucket, it will spit you out a monster that you'll need to protect for a patrol around the entire facility. Mm-hmm. If it's a low amount of water, it gives you like a level, like a mole rat or no, a boat fly. Level yeah. two, I think, is a Mirelurk crab. And level three is a glowing death claw. I read about that because I'd never seen a glowing death claw because I've only been able to summon Mirelurk crabs, even though there's been probably 10 people doing this event at the same time as me. People just, especially with Encrypted, when they did that last one, people have a hard time figuring out what to do exactly. So I have yet to complete it, but I want to because they, one of the rewards for the event is a recipe for a Stimpak Diffuser, which is a grenade that you throw that gives area of effect healing. So it's like a Stimpak grenade.
Big time.
So I'm excited to try that. And this is the last thing that they've got for Wild Appalachia. I just moved my mic so that it was way below my chin. this last, the last update for Wild Appalachia. So we've seen a full season of what content kind of looks like going forward.
What a wild ride it has been.
It's been, honestly, for how soon the game just came out to already come at us with really 3 months worth of content is pretty great.
A
lot of great stuff. I doubt we're going to hear much.
What's next? Nuclear Winter?
Nuclear Winter is next, and there's already teases about that. If you really are curious, you can go online and figure them out. They are. It seems like that there is some sort of like arena mode that they are adding in that looks interesting.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. I was looking into that.
It seems like there's stuff with maybe the Enclave that's going on. There's a few things that are rumored through data mines or through dialogue, or there's actual chests in the game that have some clues that you can go out there and find. But I've been very, very happy with the amount of content that they've managed to put in this game. It makes me very, like, what is this game going to look like in a year?
Yeah.
Like, in a year from release.
They've done this in under a year.
Well, like, in a year from when they release, this is going to be, quite frankly, the most polished Fallout game in the series.
I mean, I feel like we're coming up within the next week or so on a year since the trailer launched, right? So we're not even, I mean, we...
Well, yeah, E3's around the corner.
Yeah, so, which, it almost seems like that was 2 years ago that they announced it to me.
Oh, it feels like literally yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it feels quick, like really quick, but at the same time, it feels like there's been so much happened between, I mean, this podcast started.
That's true. Since,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just seemed like we've done so many things, but at the same time, it's just been like snap of fingers. So
a lot of people get on the podcast, and I can see what you're listening to. I can't see who you are, but I know what you're listening to, and are like going back through the entire series, which I'm very thankful that nearly everything that we covered ended up being in the game.
Yeah.
Because people have been really confused if we had covered something like the history of Huntington and be like, what's Huntington?
Yeah, what is Huntington? You guys really dropped the ball on that.
Or if we go in depth on Bluefield, what's that? Princeton, what's that?
Yeah.
I'm very glad.
I feel like we did well.
We did a nice job at our guessing game.
Yeah.
Of what is in and what is out.
Right. Yeah, that's the truth. Definitely.
We were close miss with Bramble. Bramble's a stretch.
Technically in.
But it is named in the game. It is technically a place.
It's a place that regardless I think people should know about. Just my humble opinion.
Oh yeah.
Everyone should experience Bramble. For them, Bramwell, West Virginia.
Bramble.
Bramble.
So I have repurposed my camp.
This is a weekly thing.
Well, it's much the same. I just changed the name.
Very indecisive.
I changed the name. The same camp. I changed the name.
What is it now?
Secret Sandwich Society 2.
Oh, okay. Well, that's practical.
I put it right where, like, on the other side. Because if you know, the Secret Sandwich Society is on the south end of the bridge on the right side.
Yes.
This one, you can't build there. So I did south end of the bridge on the left side.
On the left side. Well.
And you get to overlook the bridge. You get to see some nice stuff. I made a little grove, you know, because I got the grove there at Secret Sandwich Society.
Yes, that is true.
And
it's
then
it's not authentic until you find a way to make pimento cheese fries, though.
So I figured out that I can pimento cheese fries.
So good.
I figured out that I can make that cranberry grinder, but I'm not sure how well that'll sell because I have to hunt a bunch of scorch beasts.
Right.
And are people really going to want to buy that? That's my question. I'm going to try it, though. I'm going to give it the old college try. I'd also have been having some interactions with the community that I found out through Polygon, through an article that I think Patricia Hernandez, who's I think one of the editors at Polygon. I don't know. Probably some official name. I don't know.
Somebody official up there, right?
I mean, how much more official can you get than card-carrying cryptozoologist?
I mean, not much.
Certificate of Achievement Diploma in Cryptozoology.
They said you could never do it. They said you wouldn't achieve your dream, but
you know what?
But
I did.
You did.
I did. She wrote an article about a group of Fallout 76 players called EAT, and I think It's an acronym. It's EAATT. And if you told me what the name of the acronym, it's like establishment of, but essentially they're cannibals. And they all share the fact that it's much easier in the game to be cannibal and then rally behind the fact that they're all cannibals and set up different establishments and restaurants based around the fact that they're cannibals. And so one of the guys that I play with had mentioned that to me. Got connected up, shout outs on Twitter, and now I'm a part of the EAT Society. I don't know what that means, but
it means you're a cannibal, dude.
That means I'm a cannibal, which is nothing new if you've listened to the podcast.
Yeah, we're not breaking news right now.
I haven't done much of anything. Frankly, I truthfully haven't played much Fallout 76 this week. Been busy, been doing stuff, but playing Rage 2. Really, that's all I've been doing. Yeah, man.
Fun time.
Well, yeah, this is a good time. Other than that, though, I think that's it for news. Oh, one other thing. I haven't mentioned this to you, and I'm about to drop a big old bomb on you.
Okay.
So I'm looking at scheduling for next week, and I said that we were going to take next week off. Here's the situation. I would like to take 2 weeks off of the podcast, and I'll probably record an announcement today and release it on next Wednesday. So if you see an episode next Wednesday, it's not a real episode. It's probably just me saying we're taking 2 weeks off.
Surprise! This isn't actually an
because
episode.
Because if we come back on that Wednesday, if we come back on the Wednesday after next week, it's the Wednesday before E3.
Right.
And then we're off a week, and then we come back on that Wednesday. I would rather just do an episode like right after that Sunday of E3.
Yeah.
That way we're up to date with it.
I agree.
Continue biweekly from there.
Right.
I wouldn't change it around that much if it, you know, we're probably going to get some announcement as to what Nuclear Winter is and probably what Wastelanders is as well.
Hot take here. I would like to see Fallout 3 remastered.
Hot take. Have you not seen the
leaks?
I know
that's a super hot take. I know that no one else is saying that right now.
Austin,
it's just me.
Austin, it's happening.
It's just me.
It's just you.
Yeah, I'm the only person that has been saying that. Super hot take. On fire take. I want a Fallout 3 remastered.
Have you not seen the news?
I haven't paid attention to the news. Is there news? Are they about to hear me in real time right now?
Yeah, there are some leaks that have like official artwork and have a date released.
Let's
like
go!
July the 26th on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. You get Fallout 3 remastered. And it looks too official. And it looks like that it may have been taken from like a Bethesda meeting, a company-wide meeting. Somebody was like, I'm gonna stack a picture real quick and send this to my friend.
Okay,
and then
I'm looking this up right now because I am quite excited.
I'll show it to you in a bit. It might be a little hard to find.
I found some Reddit stuff, but it was from like March.
Nah, this is like nearly this week. I believe that we're getting that. It didn't look like they had a Switch edition though. That's one thing.
Yeah,
well
beggars can't be choosers, I guess.
Here's the thing, Bethesda, the day you move Fallout 76 and Elder Scrolls Online onto the Switch. I'm done. I'm good.
It's happening.
All right. So
we're taking the next 2 weeks off. We'll be back that Wednesday after E3 with a brand new episode, brand spanking new, cover all the new stuff, do all the fun things. It is a vacation. I've got stuff going.
Are we still going to the beach together?
I would like to. When do you want to go?
Is this what you were talking
about? That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Found it. I thought we were going like all next week. Just the two of us. Nice romantic getaway.
Yeah, romantic. Yep. Can we get a hot tub where it's like a little heart with the two where you're supposed to sit like at the little curves of the heart?
I would enjoy that very much.
Well, then maybe we can record a podcast there and that can be
it would be like slight ASMR with like the bubbling hot tub so everyone would be relaxed.
Yeah. Drink champagne. Yeah. Mimosas, man.
Mimosa time. Yeah. Bottomless mimosas.
Bottomless.
It's the way to do it.
Brunch. How do you hold them? Can't. Bottomless.
Can't. Bottomless.
All right.
So it looks like 7/21/19. Fallout 3 remastered, possibly a thing. Almost like you said, it looks a little too official.
It looks a little too official.
I will 150,000% only play that game for like a good 2 months.
Yeah.
That might be a little dramatic, but like
the
emotion is there.
Here's the thing. If they come out and they have a pretty comprehensive, first of all right, so we're getting into E3 predictions at this point. What they should do, here's what I think they should do. They need to come out and they need to be like, hey guys, listen, we know Fallout 76 wasn't the release that you were looking for.
Right.
We've done work. Here's the work that we have done. Here's what we've got planned. Show what they've got planned. And at the end, they do a tease for NPCs in the game. It doesn't have to be like a full rework, but there has been enough chatter.
Yeah.
They're probably going to do it to be more in line with, I think, what a massive multiplayer game is.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to do a little bit of that.
I think I'm excited to see what they roll out. I mean, I think there's going to be several pretty cool things that they'll do.
But if they're doing that and they do a remaster of Fallout 3, Fallout fan base is going to be good.
Summer of Bethesda.
We're going to be good.
Yeah.
We're all going to be happy. They got that Doom coming out. Got that new Doom. Got that new Doom. Wolfenstein.
Yeah, that Wolfenstein looks sick.
I'm excited.
Super sick.
It's going to be good. That's what I'm thinking. What do you think? What do you think they're going to come out and do? Todd Howard's going to come off. He's going to remove his mask, and it's going to be Arya Stark. And he's going to...
Don't even get me started on Arya Stark. We'll be here a while.
We'll be here a whole while. All right.
Let's talk about one of the creepiest things in the game.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that in our next segment.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's time once again to put aside all you think you know, all you believe to be true. Time to open your mind to the strange, bizarre, and sometimes terrifying world that exists in the shadows and fringes of our own, where myth, legend, and rumor are made real. Yes, it's time for more thrilling Tales from the West Virginia Hills.
I wanted to talk to
you. It's not funny, okay?
You're
laughing right now. It's not funny. You're not taking my emotions seriously.
We just had a previous conversation to this where Austin said that this thing haunts him in the night.
Not okay. Now you're making me sound more dramatic than I am.
It makes it.
I just see it. It
is the chair
sometimes.
In his dreams and his waking nightmare. I feel like I'm doing a WWE intro.
Listen, I think this is actually a hot take. I think that the mole men are one of the creepiest things in Fallout.
The mole miners.
I'm just giving them more of a general title, mole men. But the mole miners, they creep me out because of the grunts.
Because of the grunts?
The wheezing and the grunts, because I'll hear them and I can't find them and it freaks me out and I get anxious and I get real jittery trying to find them. And then, oh, what do you know? I've got a missile shooting at my face.
It's missile time.
It's, yes. And I don't like it. And it just aggravates me to no end, and I don't like their little they sound like a gorilla at first, but then they're like and they're like they're wheezing and then they're just there, and I just don't like it.
They do say one thing that's audible. What? They say take that.
Oh yeah, it's like what
take that.
Yeah. My favorite is when like they'll be like talking all that trash, and then I just roll through with like a Deathclaw gauntlet and just like slap 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 and they're dead. So really realistically they're not that hard. It's just the sounds.
The sounds
I hear And then, like, them and their little, like, show your face, coward. Like, you've show got,
your,
like...
Show your face,
stop
coward.
Trying to scare me and show your face and quit being a coward. Like, they sit there behind their masks like they're some special, important people. It just... what are the things from Star Wars that they look like?
The Jawas.
Yeah, they look like those, but they just... With, like, just an evil twist. And I don't like it.
With an evil twist.
I don't think I can go back to Star Wars World, whatever that, Disney World. I can't go back to that because there are little Jawas walking around and I will get, like,
and you're gonna be
triggered
like,
by, like, the mole miners.
I'm gonna deathclaw you. Better watch out.
I'm just gonna, like, drop one in the middle of the park. Just, like, punch straight to the face.
Oh my gosh.
Take your mask off. It's like some, like, 17-year-old.
And then it's animatronic, and then guess what? It was a synth all along.
It was a synth all along. Mm. Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
And now you ruined it. Yeah. Well, if you didn't know, mole miners. Once human, the mole miners have, in one way or another, degenerated into creatures with curved and sturdy limbs. Their degeneration was accompanied by loss of vocalization, as we've just mentioned. Their language and their communication is limited to grunts, groans, and throaty calls. They seem to be endowed with great strength, since they are perfectly capable of handling heavy weapons, such as missile launchers and shotguns, with one hand and great precision. I love how that's written. They are so strong they can handle missile launchers with one hand and great precision.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, I don't think that's really written into the lore, but I think that's like a joke that it's these guys like can one hand a missile launcher and be super accurate with it.
You know what I thought about could help me, though? You know, like in Skyrim, how there was that mod with like Thomas the Tank Engine as the dragon? I want a mod with the mole miners, but with their voice just to go, gulper.
Gulper.
I just want to hear gulper.
Gulper.
As a throwback to last week's episode.
Put mole miners in the mire, and then they can do that.
Or just like you just hear, hi there, bud.
Hi.
Hi, bud.
How you doing?
Hi, bud. Hi. You modify. Hi. Oh. Just like the Midwestern. Oh, didn't see you there. Let me slide right past you there, bud. Gulper. Just like that would make them so much like, I wouldn't care anymore. I would just like, if I just heard, oh, boy, I didn't see you there, bud. Just like some like opey voice, just that's all I need. Lucas is in here.
Well, he's my dog has heard that voice.
He's trying to imitate the voice.
Yes, and this is what my dog does: is he imitates anything that he hears.
Yeah.
That if I, on the rare occasion that I do play trumpet, when he was a baby, he would howl along with me.
Just howl.
He would just howl.
Oh, didn't see you there. Didn't see you there, bud. Let me just squeeze right past you.
Yeah, he likes that. Anyways, mole miners.
Yes, mole miners.
There's a lot of theories out there as to what the mole miners are. I had messaged out on the Discord today, and I am doing a transition so that I can eloquently bring up...
Eloquently is the word of the day.
Bring up the Discord for the mole miners. I asked if anybody had any good theories on the origins of the mole miners, and Shailene, who is a member of that Fallout show, good friend of the show, friend of the people, delightful as always, says it really bothered me wondering if they were more mole than man or more man than mole. I'm told the cannibal perks work on them, so they must be some kind of regressed human. Legion Bat says, to my understanding, they were miners trapped in the mines when the bombs fell and radiation fused to their suits. Chaotic Good said, according to the wiki, they are workers who were trapped in the mines when they were nuked to create Ultrasight. When I'm being shot with a missile, I have no problem killing them. Which I feel very the same. Yeah. Ravine chimed in, who's Greg from the episode on Fosnot, said, I've heard radiation mutation, scorch plague, genetically altered miners, and even FEV as being the reason the miners exist. I haven't found any actual evidence or anything from Bethesda. I had mentioned that I hadn't seen any of the responders actually report about the mole miners, and Soybean sent in a note that I think I'd found during the beta, but I had forgotten about. From some fire breathers coming across the mole miners and finding out that they had keys and wallets and like children's toys and all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
That was very human-like.
Well, they freaked me out.
So to me, you've got... I think you've got two options here. I think, one, they're either a product of the nuclear bombs, or number two, that they're a product of some mutation.
Yeah, it's just... I, like, want to lean more so that it's, like, product of nuclear bombs, just, like, some crazy... I don't know. It's... Mm-hmm.
I have a theory, but okay. we're gonna get there. So the thing that's most common with mole miners are, guess what? Mole rats.
Oh.
Which are they tend to be around the mole miners.
I hate mole rats.
So mole rats have very sharp claws and even thicker sharp tusks that they use to tear great chunks of flesh from their prey. Mole rats are either huge rats or the result of gene-splicing Kodiak bears with maladjusted lab rats. Fortunately, they seldom run in packs larger than half a dozen or so. According to the Pentagon Library Terminal in the Citadel, this is in Fallout 3, mole rats in the Capitol Wasteland are the result of the American government program, codename Mission Closina. I'm probably butchering that name, to develop an invasive life form that could be planted in China, where its aggression and fast breeding would help undermine the Chinese war effort. It is noted that a genetic kill switch was included to help the U.S. Army clean up the rats after the theoretical fall of China. So, additionally, it is revealed that the researchers attempted to use the force evolutionary virus to further augment their creations, but dismissed this course of action as FEV had the tendency to render subjects sterile, defeating the whole purpose of the rats being invasive and breeding.
Right.
So.
Huh.
I was wondering, because if you go to the Enclave terminals and you read about the mutations, they have, like, them from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like, the marsupial mutation, they... They spliced a kangaroo DNA with human DNA for one of the electricity one, unstable isotope. Maybe that's it. I don't know. They breeded human DNA and breeded. They combined. I don't know. I'm a cryptozoologist.
I'm not. It's above your pay grade.
I'm not whatever you do when you study DNA.
Yeah.
Biologist.
Not as important as cryptozoology.
Clearly.
You just aren't in that field.
You just aren't, like, in that field.
You're not in that specialized field. I'm so not it's okay. No, we're following you. We're good. You're fine.
Cool.
Hey, take your time, King. Take your time. King is my favorite word now. Prosper, that's King. Good. Hey, take your time.
You sent me a colloquialism that I haven't heard called, you told me, I said we were having the episode of Wednesday and you said Swag Rangoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, Tim Allen.
Swag Rangoon. Yeah. One of my friends sends that to me regularly. Uh-huh. And, like, it just stuck, I guess.
Cool beans.
Yeah. Like, we'll be, like, I'll tell him, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to watch this. Like, he'll send me something. I'll be like, yeah, I'll watch this in a minute. And he'll be like, Swag Rangoon. And I just learned.
I like
just
it.
I'm like, hey, man.
I was against it. But now
you
I
were
like
at
it.
First.
Now
you're
I like
are
it.
They are they besmirching...
Crab Rangoon.
Which a Crab Rangoon is one of my favorite. It's a delightful treat.
It is a delightful treat.
In my opinion. And
what is it? Cottage cheese?
It's like cream cheese and...
No, it's not cream cheese. It's cottage cheese.
It's cottage cheese? I thought it was cream cheese.
I don't know what it's
pretty
like...
Pretty sure it's cream cheese.
And onions and...
Hey Siri, what's in a Crab Rangoon?
Okay, we're not gonna go through all this.
That's
not going to be the way it goes. So mole rats. One of my theories is that they combined the mole rat population with humans make them better miners. You know how the mining companies were trying to innovate better ways to mine?
Yes.
My theory, and this connects into my theory on the origin of them, was they were essentially trying to experiment and see if they can make a better miner. So they have the auto miner, which is what you, when you do that quest in the Charleston Hornwright building where it comes up through the floor, mm-hmm. and then that's what they used and tested against the excavator power armor, which is what the Garahan Mining Company came up with. I think that mole miners are the product of them saying, okay, we've got a bunch of unionized miners that are causing up a ruckus. So we're going to make better miners, these right. beings that can live underground and are more suited for shorter shafts and darker climates and are able to stay shorter shafts and darker climates. Take that one as you will. And stay underground for longer. That's my whole. No, we're not going down
this conversation.
We're not going down this path. So my ultimate theory
is
that it's not any of the mining companies that got together to do it. I think the U.S. government was doing some research, and I think that they are vault residents.
Ooh.
I think that they started in one of the vaults. What's that vault? There's a vault that's down there. I think they all started there, and they are a vault tech experiment to create a being that could live in the vault underground for its whole life. They saw this mining thing, and that's why they go to the mines. So they're not really miners. They're just people that have been genetically mutated so that they're best suited for underground climates. There is no correct answer out there to what the mole miners particularly are. But that is my running theory, is that
they are.
I like
it, though. That, I mean, it definitely makes sense. Because they've done some really messed up things
yes.
to a lot of vault dwellers in certain... It's so funny that, like, certain vaults are, like, happy and fine and everything's just roses. And it's like other ones are like, no, we're going to kill most of you in very creative ways.
Right.
Like, we're just going to do some really messed up stuff.
And so the Purveyor, which is the new legendary vendor, is a mole miner, but is friendly to you. But there's also friendly supermutants, which you know are genetically tested humans. I think that if they open up that vault, that it's going to be filled with mole miners, and there's going to be like the mole miner king, the mole baron, the the minor mole baron.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah,
I'm following.
I'm trying to pitch it. You know,
we'll work on it.
We'll get there on the official name. Yeah. So I was curious about mole people in general, just as a cryptid themselves.
Yes.
And I found some interesting things. So I kind of traced myself back, and I was like, okay, there's this 1956 movie called Invasion of the Mole People, I think. And that was where you first got to see mole people come up from the ground, and there was this whole society that lived under the earth and all this stuff. And I was like, where did they all come up with this? This all is kind of weird.
Right.
So I'm about to take you all the way back. And here's the thing. There's a few themes on the podcast. What do you think some of the themes are? Some of the running situations are on this podcast. If you had to like nail this, like the tone of the podcast or the subject matters of the podcast or certain plot points that happen, what would you nail them down to?
There's a lot.
Yeah.
That I would nail a lot down to. A lot of these really creepy things.
Yes.
I'm going to let you tell me, though, because, God, I don't know. I don't even know. I feel like we're about to go down a rabbit hole that I don't even know where we're going.
I'm talking about U.S. President John Quincy Adams.
that's what I was supposed to know.
Yeah.
That is the presidents, man.
It's all about the presidents. The presidents are involved.
But specifically,
John Quincy Adams.
You wanted
Adams.
Me to guess.
Well, I didn't want John you to guess. I wanted Quincy you to guess Adams. Presidents because we talk about Thomas Jefferson, the Slaws, and we've got Teddy Roosevelt and the Snallygasters.
I just picture you
and
being
Dwight
like,
Eisenhower and the Greenbrier. Like,
I picture me being like, you asking that question. I'm like,
Well, I was, you know, there's.
I would say possibly cryptids. No, John Quincy Adams.
Adams.
Like,
no,
just like
people related to or like there's just certain subjects. There's certain themes that you can pick up on. I'm taking you all the back to my friend John Quincy Adams.
John Q.
Before we even get there, I'm going to talk about another one of my good friends, John Cleve Seams. Junior. Oh. So John Cleve Seams, the original one, was this big Revolutionary War hero that founded the city of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, they call that the Queen City. It's not the real Queen City. Charlotte's the real Queen City. This has been a PSA. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Back to you with, what's his name?
John Cleve Seams, and I'm probably butchering that name.
I thought you all were really good friends.
Well, I'm intentionally butchering that name.
We've got beef. It's like an inside joke.
Yeah, we got
it's
beef.
Like you guys have like a funny thing.
We've got like a thing that we do.
Yeah. He calls you Dave Chaffins.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So original John founded the city of Cincinnati, and then his brother had a kid and wanted to name him after him. But didn't want them confused, and so he named his kid John Cleve Seams Jr., even though his dad wasn't named that.
Right.
It was his uncle that was named that.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. Not really at all.
Not really at all, but it makes sense.
If
you think about it.
Yeah.
So Seams was this dude that had a few business ventures.
Yeah.
And like started a few businesses, did a few things. They all kind of failed. Then one day wrote at great personal cost to every single town government, state government, federal government, multiple delegates, all the different stuff. He said, hey, guys, let me tell you, the earth is hollow and it is hollow and it's got five layers underneath it so that it's just hollow. But you can go underground in these holes in Antarctica and in the North Pole.
Yeah.
You can go underground.
He just knew this?
And he sent it to everyone. He sent it to internationally, to governments across the world. He sent out this pamphlet. Kind of like, what I'm breaching here is, this is beyond flat earth theory. You got the flat earthers out there. These are the hollow earth.
Not only is it bad, it makes me think of like if you're at work and someone hits reply all and there's like 70 people.
And there's 70 people, yeah.
And they just keep hitting reply all. So like you just like have to, like everyone's getting this message that you don't need to read.
You don't need to read.
No one really wants to read it.
No.
But everybody gets it.
No.
He reply all to the world government.
So Sims' Hollow Earth theory described the world as consisting of five concentric spheres with our outer earth and its atmosphere as the largest.
Okay.
He visualized the earth's crust being approximately 1,000 miles thick with an Arctic opening of about 4,000 miles wide. So like a hole where Antarctica is and an Antarctic opening of about 6,000 miles. So 4,000 miles in the Arctic, 6,000 miles in the Antarctic that's just open. Sims proposed that the curvature of the rim of these polar openings was gradual enough that it would be possible to actually enter the inner Earth without being aware of the transition. And he said that the reason that it was flat along those, like there was holes there and why it would be perceived as flat is because of centripetal force.
Big word for that, for such a guy.
So that's where his theory started.
Wow. Take that, Kyrie Irving, with your flat earth theories now. This guy beat you to the most. Actually, that's probably the most absurd theory. Did he just one day just was like, you know what? I believe this.
That's literally what he did.
Like, it wasn't like years of detailed research.
He had some other kind of job that was like a tailor or a postmaster or something. And then he was just like, hey, guys, guess what? Earth hollow has five layers. It's like a bean dip. Five layer bean dip of Earth.
Just and people believed him. Some people.
A bunch of people didn't, as you would.
Yeah,
as you do.
I would be like, all right, man.
A good deal of people did. A good deal of people considered him the Isaac Newton of the Western world.
Let's be honest. If someone said that today, that was famous, people would believe it. Like a lot of people would, like an alarming number that would make me very disappointed in the world would believe that person. Even
him
now,
writing letters to every single person everywhere is like buying screen time on every network to be shown a thing around the country at the same time. Like, it would be a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
Let's imagine, because back then, you couldn't just, like, run it through a copier. Man, his wrist was probably pretty sore.
Pretty tired.
Yeah.
Pretty tired.
Pretty darn tired.
So, he went on to gain a few apprentices that helped him formulate this theory. And slowly but surely, the amount of concentric spheres that were located in his sphere, the five,
yeah,
slowly dwindled down to four, down to three, and then it was just we have the outer sphere, and then we have the inner sphere.
Yeah.
So there's just like one singular under Earth place. And so John Quincy Adams believed him.
Oh, boy.
And had him traipse around America.
Traipse. Ooh, it's a...
Gathering evidence in a much similar expedition, but traipse around America, gathering evidence as to whether or not this was true, then decided that he was going to fund John Cleve Seams Jr.'s expedition to the Arctic.
Mm.
So
the trip I would have liked to be on.
He was trying to send him to the Arctic so that he could find the giant hole.
Are we sure he wasn't just like just trying to get rid of this guy? Just like, listen.
It had plans. It had everything drawn up.
He's telling his assistants, just play along.
Just play along.
For now. He's gonna
if there's
go
a
up
hole,
there.
He'll fall
he's,
in it.
He's not coming back.
Like, right. So he's ready to go. He's got all of his stuff.
Right.
But then there's a re-election, and John Quincy Adams loses to Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson hears about it, and he's like, yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah, we're not doing
it. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
And the trip gets canceled. John Cleve Seams Jr. dies.
Yeah.
And he never writes any of his work down. So his apprentices go and try to formulate a few books and pamphlets based around the theory. And they do a few attempts, and I think there's finally an actual, like, fully thought-out theory yeah. of the Hollow Earth theory. And he's buried in Cincinnati, and if you go to his grave, it's a big pedestal, like a obelisk almost, with this concentric sphere. It's literally his idea of what the Earth looked like on top.
Just think about like how, like that does suck. That's like mm-hmm. your boss that is like all in on your ideas
mm-hmm.
is no longer there. Somebody new comes in. That's like. I feel like I'm full of Office references today, but when Michael goes and makes the Michael Scott paper company
mm-hmm.
and Idris Elba becomes the new boss and he tells Jim to get the reports and like Jim doesn't know what he's talking about. He's like, yeah, you know, run some reports for me, something like that. And it's just like Andrew Jackson came in and is like, yeah, run some reports for me, but like I'm not buying it. What a way to go out.
So this guy invents this theory, never gets yeah. tested. Comes back when
H. Probably best.
H. G. Wells writes the seminal fantasy book called The Time Machine, and yes. is the first instance of him mentioning the theory, as well as creating this two human races in the future: one that lives above ground, mm-hmm. and one that lives below ground, that are frequently referred to as the Mole People.
And there was a movie about this, right? Wasn't there a
The
movie
Time
made?
Machine, there's been like two movies
yeah,
about the time
I remember
machine.
Vaguely like the creepy underground people
yes.
coming up and just being like, whoa, buddy.
Yeah. And they essentially what they were doing was they were breeding the people above ground and then eating them. So they were like their cattle.
I was going to say, like, wouldn't they like come up and steal people? Like,
yeah, they would steal people and then eat them.
Yeah. Well, you got to eat somehow.
Mole people.
They got to eat too.
So.
Mole people are people too.
From there, it became this whole theory of the mole people and the people that live underground are this. There's like a whole civilization down there. That's where that theory started.
I mean, it's terrifying if you think about it.
Yes. So I fell in this rabbit hole and I was,
that's a big rabbit hole to fall down.
Literally. The other thing, yeah. the last thing that I came up to was there was reports of Adolf Hitler sending a detachment to Antarctica to discover an alien artifact. This is like some History Channel, like we are getting in it.
Yeah.
An alien artifact in the Arctic. And the rumor is that they discovered a gigantic hole and built a base around it. Now, here's where it gets wild. They're saying that Hitler escaped, and he escaped to the Arctic base that they were in. The British forces knew about this and mounted a secret mission to go and destroy this base. They didn't know that Hitler's there. They knew that the base was there.
They knew, yeah.
They came to the base, and it had caved in on itself. And so the theory is did Hitler escape to the underground realm, or did the mole people come up and kill Hitler? Is Hitler the king of the mole people?
I truthfully want to believe that the mole people killed Hitler, because, like, what just, like, what a curveball. Like, that's how he died. Oh, yeah, mole people came up and killed him.
Came up and killed him. Yeah. In the Arctic, from the giant hole in the earth.
In Antarctica, yeah. It's like, wow. Yep. Well, what a way to go.
Yep. That's how deep I got into this.
You're on, like, yeah, you're that's another level of, like, that's a whole other side of the internet.
I need to put me on topics.com, you know, topics.
Oh, God.
I need to like get on there and start talking about
it. I used to, like, in college, I'd be writing a paper about something, and within 10 minutes, I'm down that rabbit hole of not anything related to my paper, just on, like, the dark web of just, like, all of these, like, crazy theories, and you don't even know how you get there half the time.
Right.
That's how it goes.
So far, there's been no reports of mole people in West Virginia. No legitimate reports of mole people. There's legitimate reports of sheep squatch, but there's no legitimate reports of mole people.
What a world we live in.
But I thought it was interesting to just kind of trace them back and see what they could have. What was the inspiration for the enemy within the game? I do have one piece from the Cryptid Club here this week from Legion Bats, who sent in a few. I'm going to cover one of them called the Dover Demon.
Good name.
17-year-old William Bartlett claimed that while driving on April 21st, 1977, he saw a large-eyed creature with tendril-like fingers and glowing eyes on top of a broken stone wall on Farm Street in Dover, Massachusetts. 15-year-old John Baxter reported seeing a similar creature on Miller Hill Road the same evening. Another 15-year-old, Abby Brabham, claimed to see the creature the following night on Springdale Avenue. The teenagers all drew sketches of the alleged creature. Bartlett wrote on his sketch, "I, Bill Bartlett, swear on a stack of Bibles that I saw this creature." According to the Boston Globe, the locations and sightings plotted on a map lay in a straight line over 2 miles. Some suggested that the creature may have been a fowl or a moose calf. Police told the Associated Press that the creatures reported by teenagers were probably nothing more than a school vaccination hoax.
That's one way to explain it, I guess.
A school vaccination hoax.
Let me see this.
Yes, I pulled this directly from the internet, from the
school vacation hoax. You said vaccination. I was like, vaccination hoax.
Well, I saw hoax, I saw school, and so I was like, vaccination hoax. That sounds like something that would be on the Today
Show. Those are two totally different things.
A school vaccination hoax.
Oh, they're making us get vaccinated. We're about to get these people back. Well,
listen. I know you're a homophobe, but you
okay,
know,
according to Dixie O'Connor, I'm not an actual
germaphobe,
homophobe. She got the
vacation,
two words confused.
Vaccination.
If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it. I wanted to look back at one of the things you said here.
Make sure I didn't get anything else
wrong. No. Not that you got it wrong. But what stood out to me was that all of the sightings were like a straight line.
Yeah.
That's weird. The fact that it's just like for 2 miles. I don't know, man. There's so many things that happen in this world that, like, some of it has to be true. I don't know. It's just...
Well, it's in line. The description's in line with a lot of Massachusetts sightings of these Lovecraftian creatures, and that's where a lot of that Lovecraftian literature is based out of these, like, tendril-like creatures being sighted through there.
That's pretty creepy, but I just want to see one. Something. I don't care what it is I see. There's a big thing now going on.
Big.
No pun intended, that Bigfoot is being spotted in Sutton. In real life, in West Virginia,
right now,
yeah, near the Sutton Lake, they're
Bigfoot or sheep squash.
Bigfoot, being spotted near the Sutton Lake. They're doing tours now and everything. They're having like renting people out boats to go like search the shores for them, and it's a big deal right now.
We need to go.
Yeah.
We need like, to go to Sutton and go squashing. Yeah.
They're saying because there's a lot of forest around Sutton and a lot of open space for something to roam around. But it is a thing. Like I've seen several articles in the last month that apparently there is a cryptid being spotted in West Virginia right now.
Right now.
Yeah. So that's a little extra. But to go along with that, like, I mean, I don't know, man. That's creepy. Just the being spotted in a straight line, like all the sightings.
It's a fast moving being.
Yeah.
I like how they're all 15.
Yeah. Yeah. School vacation hoax. You never know, man.
You remember, I think, I can't remember if I talked about this last time, but the tiger from the zoo. Did I talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of that. It's like, a tiger has escaped from the zoo. It's like when they wrote in the bathroom, on the bathroom stall, there's a boom in here.
Just a boom in here.
They meant to say bomb. A boom. Like a bomb threat. there's a boom in here. B-O-O-M.
This is, for some reason, I don't know why this just stood out to me. This is kind of off topic. My mom listens to the podcast a lot.
Shout out to your mom.
She has told me that it cracked her up when you were talking about running for treasurer.
Yes.
And it was a vote for David is a vote.
A vote like for David is like, a vote, yeah.
She has laughed about that. Just you saying
I still have the signs for that somewhere.
Oh, man.
My buddy James, shout out to James, works at the a burrito place, Thunderbird Burrito in Lewisburg. Off there in the main street.
I didn't know he was in Lewisburg.
Yeah, he's my buddy down there in Lewisburg. He works at a bunch of different places down there. It's a really interesting restaurant culture down there and like business culture. Everybody works everywhere. It's like everybody just helps everyone.
That's how it is at Snowshoe. You'll see one person at this restaurant, and then the next day they're working at this bar, and then they're working at that bar. It's an interesting business structure.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. I dig it. But yes.
I think that's what our next mission is going to be, though. We're going to go hunt Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. A vote for Sasquatch is a vote.
Is a vote, yeah. We are now, you're a cryptozoologist. It makes sense.
You're a professional photographer.
Yeah, we're going to
put our heads together.
That's been my biggest complaint. Why does no one have pictures? We're going to change that.
Your camera's going to break.
I take it.
You're taking it. It's going to be like
smashes.
Or Bigfoot's going to come over and he's going to be like, delete that.
I did not give you consent to take my photograph.
Delete
this.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars on there. That would be very helpful. That's one of the best ways that you can give feedback to the show. That's how we get onto all the fun little pages on iTunes. More people can listen to the show. More people can send in some cryptozoology stuff. Talk to your card-carrying cryptozoologist and our favorite son of a Mothman over here.
Maybe this week I'm a son of a mole miner.
Son of a mole miner.
Hey.
Oh.
Gotta get over my fear somehow, right?
You got to. You do. Maybe you are the mole miner at heart.
Mole miner king.
That's true.
Plot twist.
That is a plot twist. Just note, reminder, next 2 weeks, we're taking off. We won't be here. Well, I'll be here. This is where I live.
You can talk to us, though.
On Discord. I'm on there. You can tweet at us. I'll probably be live tweeting the Bethesda thing. I might make an Instagram story. I haven't done an Instagram story in a coon's age.
I've had a few people follow me on Instagram. It's been nice. I've been able to talk to a few people. So
cool.
Definitely follow us. Talk to us. Reach out.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do like reactions because I see all these people, all these social influencers doing reactions to stuff. I'm gonna do that. It's like when you're watching Game of Thrones and they're like, oh my gosh, Boba Fett killed Master Chief.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that was the craziest episode for me.
It was when Boba Fett killed Master Chief. Yeah. I agree. As far as anything else though, that's it.
I think that covers it.
Yep. What are we outro with? What's that saying you guys sing? I say something.
You know what? I'll say it. That's all for today. Stay safe. And then you say something about, from holler to highway, we've got you covered. 6 ways to Sunday.